Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur. How you doing? We got a great show lined up. As soon as we get the switchboard fixed up here, we're going to bring on Alan Pierce. He is with Pierce International. So we bring him up. So how are you guys doing this evening? If you'd like to give us a call, you can reach us at 973-297-0000. That's 973-297-0000. As I bring on my guest, we're going to be talking about people magnet, how to become a people magnet. This is Ken, your Passion Entrepreneur. Alan, are you on the line?
Ken, it's Deb. I'm about to patch Alan through. Just one moment.
Okay, so you... Is this Deb? All right, then. This is the Passion Entrepreneur. Welcome. This is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur, your Chief Profitability Officer. Thanks for tuning in. We show you how to maximize your profits and business opportunities. We teach you about the best practices for profitability and share with you new ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. We want you to listen, learn, enjoy, and share. We're going to be talking with Alan Pierce. And what we're going to talk about is, you guessed it, talk a little bit about becoming a human magnet. That's right. That's right. Alan Pierce, human magnet. The title of this conversation we're going to have is How to Read Body Language for Profits and Become a Business Success. That is, how to read body language for profits and business success. So if you feel you have the right tools, your right skills, then this should be really, really interesting for you guys. So stay tuned.
This is Alan.
Alan, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. All the way from Australia.
Now you're all the way from the United States.
All right, then. I wanted to bring you in properly. Alan Pierce has been known internationally as Mr. Body Language since he wrote his definitive book, How to Become a People Magnet, with a title that became a multi-million seller, and it's a communication Bible for organizations worldwide. Now, Alan says, with the right skills, motivation, and a strong desire to succeed, you can accomplish anything. And what's better help with the body language person than the communication expert, Alan Pierce. Now, good, as I guess down there it's morning. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Yeah, well, it's certainly good morning down here, and it's I'm on the Barrier Reef here, so it's coming up to winter time. Temperatures drop down to 85 degrees, and the palm trees are still blowing, though.
Okay. So I guess the first question I want to ask you is, how did you get into this business?
Well, it started for me back in the late 1960s when I was a teenager at school. I had a job after hours knocking on doors selling pots and pans, which I did for 5 years. And I did that because my father was a salesman, and he taught me the simplest and best paid work in life is to sell if you can talk and get people to listen. And so he taught me from the time I was a very young kid to knock on doors and get people to say yes to what I was proposing. And I started recording those things into books and on 16mm film and then that brand new thing called audio cassette, which was invented in 1970. We packaged these things, and in 1976 they became the summary of my first world bestseller, which was just called Body Language. And that went into every language, number one around the world, and that propelled me into the television training area.
Wow. Okay, so let's just cut to the quick. Your book, you talk about, the title of the book is How to Become a People Magnet. What's the reason behind the book?
Well, the reason behind the book is pretty much in line with everything that I teach to corporations and individuals. That is that today, if people buy you, that is, they like you personally, they feel comfortable with you, they feel recognized and important when they're around you. So if they buy you, then they're pretty much going to buy whatever goes with you, which is whatever you suggest that they should do or what they should buy or where they should go or how they should think, in fact. And the reverse is true, too, that if people don't buy you because something about you that doesn't click or they don't like or maybe something about the way you look or behave, then they won't buy what goes with you. In fact, they'll look for reasons for saying no even when it's a good idea for them.
Wow. Okay. So I have a number of questions. I'm going to give an overview of the questions. First of all, how can you make a lasting first impression? I'm going to ask that. How to command others' attention and have them act on your suggestions? I like that one. How to effortlessly turn any situation to your favor, how to be a great conversationalist, and how to make others feel important, and how to become a human magnet. So I guess the first question I want to ask is
you're going to cut and paste these, are you? Is that the idea?
Cut and paste these? Now I'm going to go ahead and ask the first question. So
how do I say your full name?
Kenneth. Or Ken.
You prefer Ken?
Yes.
Okay. Shoot.
Okay, so how can you make a lasting first impression?
Well, the important thing to understand, Ken, is that particularly when you meet people for the very first time, that those people form up to 90% of their impression about you in under 4 minutes, what we call the first impressions. And the old saying about you never get a second chance to make a first impression is scientifically correct. We can prove that's true. Because at the end of 4 minutes, people will either feel like they want to say yes to what you're likely to say or want them to do, or they're going to say no. And that's, you think about your own situation. When you meet people, you pretty much sum up straight away. And within 4 minutes, you've decided whether you like them or not, which means you've decided whether you've bought them or not. And so the important way of making good first impressions is to appear and to come across as non-aggressive. Now, this is very important because our brains as humans are hardwired to be able to read the difference between aggression and friendliness, because if you weren't hardwired to do that, you wouldn't survive in terms of ancestral terms. And the brain scanners that we use now, these MRI scans, show where these things are operating in the brain. So the first key is to appear to be non-aggressive. In fact, it's not only to appear to be, but to be non-aggressive. Because if you're non-aggressive, you can be very direct with what you say. In fact, you can tell people to go and drop dead in such a way they're looking forward to the trip.
Yeah, 4 minutes is not a lot of time.
Well, that's right. Well, you think of somebody you might have met 10, 15, 20 years ago, Ken, and for some reason, you just didn't like them first up. You just couldn't take to them for whatever reason. Yet, years later, you've got to know them. Now you quite like them. But isn't it true you can't forget that first impression they made?
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's interesting. So acting non-aggressive is the key to forming, a lasting first impression.
Absolutely. And you've got less than 4 minutes to do this. And if you don't, like if you're in sales and marketing or meeting a customer or in any business where you've got to persuade people and get them on side, if you don't know how to do some of these skills, in fact, in the People Magnet book, we put the 29 skills that you need to know to do this. We found most people are aware of four and maybe partially use two. So it's a wonder most people get on at all in life, isn't it?
Wow. So you said, how many rules are there? You said
29. 29.
That's what I thought you said, 29. Okay.
Yeah.
We're talking with Alan Pierce. Check out his website, www.pierceinternational. That's P-E-A-S-E, international.com. So how do you command others' attention, and how do you get them to act on your suggestions? That's a really good question, I think.
Well, in terms of body language, there's a few things that you can do that are very powerful. First, when you're talking with people, you nod your head slowly as you talk, in groups of three. So you go nod, 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 and then you stop. Nod, 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 and you stop as you're listening and you're talking. Now, if you and I are talking, Ken, and I'm nodding as I'm talking, you'll start nodding your head as well. And pretty quickly you start saying to yourself, this feels pretty good. Whatever it is this guy's talking about feels all right.
I'm nodding my head right now.
Well, I'm going to ask you, are you doing it now? Because that's what happens.
Yes,
as you're thinking about it, you begin to nod. Now, it's cause and effect. The way body language works, body language is an outward reflection of your emotions. Whatever you're feeling emotionally is likely to be reflected in gestures, movements, postures, expressions, and so on. So the key here is to read the gestures, that is, how they're feeling, match it up with what they're saying and the circumstances in which they're saying it, and allows you to piece together what's likely to be going through their head at the time, and also to look for contradictions. For example, if you feel positive about something, you start to nod your head, right?
Yeah.
If you feel negative about something, you start to shake it from side to side.
Okay.
And they're both fairly universal. Most countries, not all, but most use those gestures for that meaning. But when somebody's shaking their head from side to side and trying to convince you yes, that you become skeptical. So you shake your head and say, darling, I love you and I respect you in the morning. Right? You're shaking your head from side to side. She gets a feeling. She can't trust you. There's something about you that's not trusted. She doesn't know what it is. She can't pinpoint it. But what it is, in fact, is that she's noticed the contradictions between the body signals and what's being said. It's a bit like Bill Clinton shaking his head and pointing his finger and saying, I did not have sex with that woman. I mean, that's not how that's supposed to look. I did not have sex with that woman. You're shaking your head from side to side and you have your palms exposed and held out in front.
Now, we just jumped into the question, and I think it might be proper for us to define what body language is. You're Mr. Body Language, so could you give us a definition of body language?
Yeah, but body language in simple terms is an outward reflection through gestures, movements, and expressions and postures of your emotions. So it reveals what you're feeling, and then you're matching it with what they're saying in the context under which they're saying it, and that allows you, by piecing this together, to work out what they're likely to be thinking. And we know that women are 3 to 4 times on average better than men at doing this. And the brain scans show where this operates in both sides of the brain and front and back for women, wherein men it tends to operate mainly in the center, marginally on both sides. In other words, if you're a man, you should not lie to women to their face. And most men know this. I mean, you can't lie to women's face and get away with it, Ken, can you? Be honest.
Yeah, so women are really good at reading body language than men are. Men don't care. Why is that? Why are women better at this?
Well, it comes down to one very simple thing, childbearing. In our equal world, that hasn't been equal opportunity for men yet. Women still give birth to children. And having done that for the best part of probably 1 million years or more, it makes sense that women's brains would be hardwired with the ability to live up to her evolutionary role, if you like, which is to defend the next generation. Women have been charged, you know, virtually forever with defending and protecting the next generation. You need a special set of skills to do that, that don't involve hitting and chasing a moving zebra at 30 yards, which is what men's simple job has been. And so to be able to defend children, you need first to look at babies that have no language and determine by its behavior only, just the way animals do it, is the baby hungry, tired, frightened, injured, or in pain? And if you couldn't do that, Ken, it would be detrimental for survival. And women's brains are hardwired to be able to read these signals for survival. Also, anybody who's approaching where she's hiding or protecting young children, she needs to be able to work out in the distance, is that person going to be friendly or aggressive by their behavior? And if she couldn't do that, that's detrimental for survival. Now, that was never an issue for your ancestral fathers. If your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather 100,000 years ago saw a stranger approaching his cave and he wasn't quite sure what to make of him, he'd just get out and hit him with a big rock.
Yes.
You wouldn't go and negotiate, talk it over and think about it. You go, wallop, and it'll all be over. So consequently, women are very well wired to read this. And any man listening to this program knows, if you've had any experience with women, you try to lie to a woman to her face, even a little one, little lie. You know, you haven't got much chance of getting away with it. So my advice is, do not lie to women to their face. Call them up.
Okay, call them up. Okay.
Send an email.
Yeah. There's a. You wrote this book, How to Become a People Magnet. What was the reason behind writing the book, and why has it been so successful? I guess the first question, why did you write the book?
Well, it's interesting. It's a very simple book to read, as you know. There's 29 chapters, but there's only 2 pages maximum per chapter. And it's since I've been a kid, knocking on doors and being persuasive and convincing, you know, I've always been a champion salesman. I've always win everything. I was the best salesman I know, and that's why I get to stand up in front of groups and talk to them about how to sell, which became recorded into audio cassettes and books and so on. That became, you know, the business that I've been in for almost 40 years. And for me, it was the simplest book I ever wrote, but also the most difficult, because to get the basic principles you need to know about life in one little book is not an easy thing to do, and to say it in the least amount of words. So I put in there all the things that to a lot of people seem like what you might call common sense, but interestingly enough, younger generations, Generation Y, under 28, have never heard of a lot of these things, like how to shake hands when you meet someone and where you should look in their face or not look and how long you should look for. Today's generation of young people actually don't know how to do this. They don't know how to shake hands or how to meet. The average young fella today doesn't know how to go to a club or a party or a bar and chat up a chick, how to meet her eyes across the floor and know whether he's wasting his time or he should go ahead and buy her a drink. And the reason that his father and his grandfather, his great-grandfather, did have a lot of these skills, because that's all they had to operate with. They didn't have SMS, they didn't have texting and mobile phones. You had to cross the floor and put on a dog and pony show. But today's young people are the texting generation, and the skills of human communication have generally been lost on this generation.
Wow, that's very interesting. So you mentioned 29 skills. I guess we don't have enough time. I think we might have another 5 to 10 minutes maybe to have a conversation with you. But can you give us maybe simply what those 29 are? Or is that too much? Or maybe give us maybe the key, maybe 5 ones that think would be important to get an understanding about your book. We'll be maybe
okay, first, okay,
not 5.
Let's start with some basic. How do you shake hands?
Okay.
Well, when you meet somebody for the very first time, you get 1 of 3 gut-level feelings. You either feel comfortable, like it's going to go okay, or you feel a little bit intimidated, they're coming on heavy, or you feel as though you're in charge, they're a bit laid back. It has to do with 2 things. First, the angle of the hand. Okay. Now, when your palm is facing downwards towards the ground, if you talk with your palms down, you take on a very authoritative, very forceful appearance. When you talk with your palm up, you take on a non-aggressive, non-threatening appearance. So we teach people in our classes and in our books to talk with your palms primarily in an upward exposed position so people won't feel intimidated. When you shake hands, if the other person's got their hand more on top of yours, you'll get a feeling, without any training, you'll just get this feeling that they're coming on a bit heavy, and that's because the hand is on top of yours. So the key is to create a force for a handshake, keep your palms absolutely straight, and secondly, give the same pressure you receive. Now this is important in a multicultural place like Australia, the United States, UK, and most parts of Europe now, where you've got all different cultures living together. Mm-hmm. It's important to match the pressure, to make them feel comfortable. Also, shaking hands with the opposite sex can become a problem in terms of this pressure, because for some people you've got to drop back the pressure, others you've got to increase it.
Wow, so you've mentioned 2. What would be a third idea that we could learn from the book out of the 29?
Well, I had an interesting one today that somebody said to me, they said, my parents, my brothers, my sisters, the whole family are always criticizing this person for what they do. Don't like the way they dress, don't like the way they live, don't like the way they raise their kids. This guy's thinking about leaving what they see as a secure job and going into a network marketing business with no guarantee. So, you know, this guy's really copping it from all sides. And he does what most people do. When someone criticizes you, we have the natural tendency is to argue back and defend our position.
Right.
Which, with most people, it never works. For example, let's say that you say to me, for example, Alan, if you keep eating pizza every night, you're going to get big and fat and have a heart problem, right?
Sure.
Now, the reality is that's true, isn't it?
Yes.
If I eat pizza every night and hamburgers, I'm going to get fairly obese and I'll probably have heart disease and diabetes and the whole bit. So what you're saying is true. So here's what you do. Someone criticizes you. Number one, if what they're saying is true, the criticism is true, agree with it. Now, this is the last thing they're expecting you to do, Ken. They're expecting you to defend. So you agree with it. Okay, so tell me now, if I eat too much pizza, I'll get sick.
And that's a 180-degree difference, which you feel like doing it. Yeah.
There you go. Tell me that. Tell me if I eat too much pizza. Let's have a role play here.
Okay.
Go on, say it.
Oh. My true feeling or saying...
Yeah, no, just tell me, if you reckon if I keep eating pizza, I'm going to blow up and explode.
Yeah, that is true. I will blow up and explode.
Now, if someone says that to you, you say, you know, Ken, you're absolutely right. If I keep eating these pepperonis, I'm going to go kaboom in the middle of the night. There's no doubt about it. So rule number one is if what they're saying is true, the criticism is true, agree with the truth.
Okay.
Secondly, then restate your position. Now, here's the way it sounds. You know, Ken, you're dead right. If I keep on eating these pizzas, I'm going to get diabetes, heart attack, or it's going to take me away on a stretcher. But, you know, I love pepperoni, and I've just ordered a large one. Would you like to join me for a piece? Now, what I've done is I haven't criticized you. I haven't attacked you. I've, in fact, agreed with you and said, yeah, you're so smart. You're right. However, I'm going to keep eating pizza. So that way, I've reaffirmed my position without criticizing. Now, what happens if you don't agree with the criticism? Okay. Someone says, for example, Ken, now, look, if you leave your nice job there at the radio station and go for this network marketing job, there's no security, there's no guarantee of income. You know, you've got three kids to look after. What? How do you know you can support them? But let's say you don't agree with it, right? Now, if you agree with it, you'd say, you know, you're right, Ken, you're absolutely right. And then you'd restate your position. But if you don't agree, you agree with the critic's right to hold an opinion. Here's the way it sounds. You know, I can see how you'd feel that way, Ken, you know, because I've got three kids, and admittedly, you're dead right again that there's no guarantee in this network marketing business. But, you know, the challenge in there is something I really want, and I know I'm going to be successful, and I can't wait to get started on it. Would you like me to show you how it works? So, again, where do you go? I haven't attacked you. I haven't criticized you. I've, in fact, appeared to agree with you, and here we are. You're now looking at how the network marketing business works and having a piece of pizza with me at the same time.
So you turn it around.
You turn it around, because the natural reaction when someone criticizes you is to defend.
Yes.
Now, if you keep eating pizza all the time, you'll blow up. Well, how can you talk to me like that, Ken? I mean, you drink too much beer. You're gonna pickle your liver if you keep it up. You can't be telling me what to do. Suddenly, we've got an argument. But by agreeing with the truth or agreeing with the right to an opinion, then restating your position, everybody buys you and feels pretty happy around you.
All right, sir. And so what would be a third? What would be a fourth piece of information for people to understand about how to become a people?
Okay, let me have a look here. Oh, okay. One of the basic premises of the People Magnet book was that the most important thing in every person's life, the thing they think about the most, they enjoy the most, their number one priority in life. You know what it is?
Respect for the other person, that you're listening to them?
No, themselves.
Yeah,
themselves. That's right. Their number one priority is themselves.
They're looking out for themselves. That's right.
Now, a lot of people say, well, that's a bit selfish and that's a bit self-centered. Well, basically, it's a hardwired survival response. If your number one priority wasn't about your own well-being, you'd die or get killed. It's that simple. So our number one defense is for ourselves, to protect ourselves and be interested in our own well-being. And that's why understanding that basics, if from today you make your whole life dedicated to that principle, that the person you're talking with, if you make them feel important, significant, relevant, wanted, you talk about their goals, their family, their life, if that's all you talk about, you will become the most popular person that ever lived. They will listen to you all day because you're talking about their number one priority. Now, as I said, many people say that's a bit self-centered and selfish, but it's very fashionable to pretend that we should be altruistic. For example, when you give money to a charity, the bottom line payoff is you get the payoff, Ken, and I get the payoff. So if I give money to a charity, and $10 to the Blind Institute, for example, I feel good that I gave that money. Now, I had a fellow recently said to me, well, he said, I disagree with this, Alan. He said, I give $10,000 every year anonymously to the Salvation Army Fund for children. And he does. No one knows he does it. In fact, I was the first to know about this. He said, so how can the payoff be for me when nobody knows? So I said to him, I said, Bob, when you write that $10,000 check, how do you feel? He said, I feel elated. I'm floating on air for 3 months. So the bottom line payoff was that he feels great that he's given this money anonymously, because he doesn't know where the money goes. And someone else said, what about Mother Teresa? She gave her entire life for the benefit of others with no return. That's not true. Mother Teresa dedicated her life to the well-being of others because she believed that's what God wanted her to do. And in doing that, she won God's approval and got a seat in heaven.
Wow. We're talking with Alan Pierce. Alan Pierce of Pierce International. You can reach his website. Go to www.pierceinternational. It's P-A-C-E. correction, it's PEASEinternational.com. He's written a fantastic book, How to Become a People Magnet. So, Alan, we've got less than 5 minutes. Why is it so important for business owners to learn body language?
Body language accounts for between 60 to 80% of the impact of a message when you're face-to-face. In other words,
60 to 80%?
60 to 80% of the impact of the message is the way you look, appear, and behave.
They ain't listening to the conversation. They're looking at you, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, in fact, what you say, the impact of the words, the things that we can write on paper that you said, accounts for somewhere between 7 to 10% of the impact. In other words, people actually don't listen to what's said. They react to what they're seeing, which is your emotionals, that is what you feel and what you mean, and they listen to your tone of voice, which is the balance.
Mm-hmm.
That's more important the way you look and behave. Now, think about people in the world who've proved it. Bill Clinton. Now, here's a guy who lied to the grand jury, lied to his wife, the Whitewater affair, lied to the Congress, Monica Lewinsky, et cetera, et cetera. Yet the world loves the guy because he's non-threatening, he's not aggressive, he's charismatic, everybody loves him. They pay him $100,000 to talk about it at lunch. You imagine, Ken, if George Bush had done any one of those things,
he'd be out.
He'd be long gone, wouldn't he?
So the key is controlling your body language and being non-threatening. Oh, that's very interesting. So a business owner's got to learn this body language stuff so they could be successful. It's all sales. Now, I do a lot of business online through some networking sessions I do on Tuesday from like 8 to 9. How do you apply this when you're dealing with people long distance and online and on the phone? Is that you can't read a person's body language then?
Well, there's two things that happen on the phone. First of all, because they can't see you, you're now limited to words and intonation. That's why when you listen to people on the telephone, you might have spoken to someone several times on the phone over the years, and you meet them, they don't look anything like you thought they're going to look or behave that way because you pick up mental images of what they look like. On the phone, it is much more difficult to be persuasive, convincing, and get people on side, and it's even more difficult when you're down to words only in an email or a letter because in an email or letter, they can't hear your tone of voice and they can't see you. So unless you're very, very skilled and clever at doing this, it becomes very difficult to sell on email versus on the phone. The most effective way for most people, and everybody instinctively knows this on an intuitive level, that if you can go face-to-face with someone and see them and meet them, you'll have a far better chance of getting them to say yes to anything you want than if you send them a letter versus if you call them.
Okay. Reason to meet face-to-face every now and then. So,
well, ideally, there's a new package of software you can buy, and it's in the States, only in America, of course, in Silicon Valley. And what it does is you sit in front of a video camera for around 10 minutes and you read out a whole series of dialogue that they give you. And you're dressed in a suit and tie or put on your best makeup or whatever you look like, depending on what sex you are. Or I suppose in America, as a man, you can do that too. And what it does, it records your voice and records your intonation. So when you then go on something like Skype or voice over internet where they can see you as well as they can hear you, it brings up these images of you sitting in an office or sitting in some great location all dressed up, even though you're probably at home in your pajamas and fluffy slippers. But it picks up your voice and it matches it to the image, so it looks like there you are doing business, but in fact you're at home in the bath relaxing.
So you have this product or service, you sell that?
Well, I don't have it, no. No, we don't have it here, but in America, I read in an article three days ago. They've just released it.
Great product, okay. I think it's
a hoot.
Yeah, it sounds pretty interesting to do. So I guess I have maybe two more questions. How do you become a great conversationalist? You mentioned showing interest in talking about the other person. So is that the key to being a great conversationalist?
The key to be a great conversationalist is not actually to say anything. It's to be able to listen. Actually, you listen effectively. And here's the way you listen effectively. When a person's talking, as you listen, you nod your head slowly as they're talking, and you make what we call minimal encouragers. Here's the way they sound. They go, uh-huh, I see, really, tell me more. Did you? How did you feel? Wow, tell me about that. Secondly, use what we call open-ended questions. When you talk, you only ask a question to which they cannot give a yes or no. They must give an answer. For example, and so how did you get started into the radio business, Ken? Now, with a bit of luck, you might talk for 10 or 15 minutes on this. And as you talk, I'll say, uh-huh, I see, really, tell me more, is that right? While my body language is open, non-threatening, I'm nodding my head. And after 15 minutes of this, you'll say to yourself, Alan is a really interesting guy to talk with, you know, and I haven't said anything. You don't know anything about me. I've talked about your number one priority, which is you, and therefore you want to buy bucket loads of whatever I've got to sell.
Absolutely. I've learned this with I was a consultant for Krauthammer, and they say, and I even do this now, the most important person is the person I'm speaking with. So I'm focusing on their conversation. I'm listening less. I'm listening more and talking less. And so if somebody calls me, I'm not picking up the phone. If whatever they talk, whatever their conversation is, I'm going to go with that. I'm not interested in me and talking about what I do and what the whole key is to listen to what they do and what they're trying to accomplish. And so that's the key. And I always say the most important person is the person you're speaking with. And so this really reinforces my training with Krauthammer. So how do you make other people feel important? Basically listening to them?
Well, that's right. It all ties in together. In fact, what you just said, you just gave a perfect description of Bill Clinton.
Yeah,
I've seen Bill Clinton on a couple of occasions at seminars, and that's what he does. It doesn't matter whether he's talking to the guy serving the coffee or the chief executive. That person feels like they are the most important person in the world right at that point. He focuses, he listens, he agrees, he nods his head, he uses minimal encouragement to get them to talk, and they are absolutely wowed by this guy. It doesn't pass their mind that any of the things that happened in the past were important. In fact, the Monica Lewinsky thing, hey, it was probably a good thing they're starting to think.
Wow. So, in wrapping up, we've got, I guess we're out of time. How do you become a people magnet? How do you become a people magnet?
In simple terms, to become a people magnet, number one, you present yourself as non-threatening and open. That is, no crossing of arms or legs. You have your palms visible when you talk. You nod your head as you talk, so you're non-threatening in appearance. Secondly, that you make the most important person in the entire room, in the entire world, the person to whom you're focusing. You ask only about them, their family, their background, their hopes, their ambitions, their dreams, what they want. As you listen to them, you use minimal encouragement. You nod your head. You say, yeah, I see. Tell me more. Uh-huh. That's very interesting. Is that right? Uh-huh. 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 And by doing those very simple things, they'll say to themselves, you know, you're a really terrific person to be with, to talk with. I love talking with you, they're going to tell other people, yet they know very little about you. And the bottom thing about you, Ken, is that if somebody doesn't ask you a question about you and yours, they're just not interested. So
right.
Don't volunteer it unless they ask about you.
All right, then. We're going to talk with Alan Pierce. You can check out his website at www.pierceinternational. That's PEASEinternational.com. Any parting thoughts, anything that you want the listeners to understand or know about your company and your book as we sign off with you?
Okay. I think the important thing about what I do is I teach people to sell themselves to other people, because today in any business or any service, every product or service in whatever business you're in costs the same and has the same benefits from your competitor. In other words, everything costs the same within a given business. So how do people decide who they're going to give their business, their money, their love, and their loyalty to? Well, they give it to people they like who make them feel important. And if you focus only on the other person, you will become the most popular, most interesting person that ever lived.
All right. Well said. Well, thank you so very much. When I read about you here in the United States, I said, I got to get Alan on the radio show, because I think what you say is critical to sales success and business success. So thank you so very much. Again, you have your website again is what?
It's Pease International. Yeah, or the other website is bodylanguage.tv.
Okay. And in your book, you have one book that I've been promoting. And what's the title of that book again?
The title of the book we're talking about today is Easy Peasy, How to Become a Human Magnet. And the most known books in America for me are certainly Body Language and Why Men Don't Listen and Women Can't Read Maps.
Oh, okay. I like that. All right, then. Alan, thank you so very much for being on the program. Really appreciate you. Thank you. So, you got to come back again and teach us some other things. Because you got 29. I think we talked about maybe four of them. So you got to
maybe
come
four
back.
Or five, yeah. Yeah, that'd
right.
be my pleasure, Kent.
All right. Hey, we're reaching over the seas to Australia. I like this. I like this a lot. All right, then.
I'm going to go sit on the beach and watch the whales. What are you going to do?
I mean, in a couple hours, I'm going to bed, because it's real interesting. Now it's, I guess it's a little bit after 8 o'clock p.m. here, and it's, what, 10 o'clock in the morning there?
That's correct.
Wow. All right, then. Well, thank you so very much, my friend. I'm looking forward to bring you back on the show and getting that book.
Not in the fall here. I'm in the fall and standing on my head.
Okay. All right. So thank you so very much.
Well, my pleasure, mate.
All right, then. Well, that's the show. So what did you learn? More importantly, what are you going to do with this information that you learned? We talked about body language, and just definitely check out the book, How to Become a People Magnet. It's a multi-million seller communication Bible for organizations worldwide, not just in Australia, also in the United States and worldwide. So check out his book. Check out the website, www.pearseinternational.com. That's P-E-A-S-E, international.com. So there you have it. That is the show. I want to encourage everybody, if you want to get a second opinion on what you're doing business-wise, check out the website. If you like the podcast, you want to learn more, you have an idea, if you said, Ken, I'm interested in this thing, maybe the body language thing, you said, I got that, but I want to learn more about sales. I want to learn how to become more profitable in my business. Just send me an email, and we'll maybe invite you on the program or take your idea and run with it and present something that's interesting for you. Because this show is not about us. It's about you and what you want to learn. So, again, this is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur, as we take you out. I'll put Brian Hunley's music from New Wine Music. Have a great evening, and until next time, stay profitable.